Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Huge battle going on right now on my Facebook page, Corey Majors on Facebook, about pineapple pizza. It's fantastic. And people that don't like pineapple pizza are just wrong. It's not that you have to think that it's the best pizza, but just acting like it doesn't belong in the world of pizzas is ridiculous. It makes sense. It's a good pizza. Colby, do you agree or disagree?
It's all right. It's not something that if you were to hand me a free pineapple and Canadian bacon pizza that I would just throw it back at you and be like, I'm not eating that trash.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I understand the sweetness and the salty with the pineapple and the Canadian bacon and this, that, and the other. I would actually prefer if it was sweet peppers, though. You get that, yeah, that still good. that sweet flavor
with the spice,
with a little bit of the spice, and then you go to the salty. There's the texture is probably what throws most people off, just because of the way that the pineapple's texture is kind of a little grainy,
uh-huh.
I guess, as far as fruit's concerned.
Yeah,
so that may throw a lot of people off.
And when it comes to peppers, man, one of my I love to take the banana pepper they give to you. And take a bite of pizza.
That's right.
Or take a bite, open up, let all the juices just pour all over the top
course.
Of it.
Right.
Now you got the spice that goes along with it. So
pepper squeeze on your pizza.
Absolutely, man. So anybody that doesn't like pineapple pizza can come see me at our next fan event and let me know how you feel about that. Or just go to my Facebook page or go to Twitter, at In The Majors, at Thank Kevin, at Colby1053, and at Reg Atatula, otherwise known as Bank. We'll let you know why next week, though. Next week, Colby.
Why?
Teasing ahead to next week. That's what my tease is going to be on Friday night, guys. Guys, there's audio right now of Andre Iguodala sounding off about a number of different things. But I think the biggest one that I took kind of goes along with what's going on with a survey that a bunch of NCAA coaches are concerned about. There's a group of NCAA coaches that said about 19% of athletic trainers reported in a recent survey that a coach played an athlete who had been deemed medically out of participation.
And this is actually, I believe, a survey for trainers. This National Athletic Trainers Association put out a survey to all the trainers to kind of get some information about these things.
Yeah, and I think that kind of gives a lot of the trainers the understanding that they're all kind of in the same boat on some things.
Mm-hmm.
So there they are. A bunch of 19% of them said that the coaches they work with said, let's go ahead and play this guy. We're going to clear it. Now, I didn't say who specifically. But the University of Houston is investigating how several of its women's soccer players suffered rhabdomyolysis after a January workout.
Perfect execution.
You guys go figure out exactly what that is.
Okay.
And we'll figure out why it is what it is.
And to further that point on the survey, I believe there was another question on that survey asking if trainers had felt pressured at any point by anyone in the organization to maybe medically clear a player who was not all the way ready. And I think that answer was somewhere around 54%, I believe, give or take, in the affirmative that, yes, they had somebody somewhat kind of lean on them or suggest to them that they should try and make a player readily available.
And that's something we all, like, I don't know if we all just already believe it and accept it,
mm-hmm.
but it's in the back of our minds. But I guess because it's in the back of the system, we don't think about it that often. It's not like we see it on every play.
And on top of that, yeah, you have these trainers that are working for the team, and these teams are given as some level of authority on these things. So we trust the teams, but the incentive is for the trainers, they're getting paid by the team, so the incentive is you do what your bosses tell you, in effect, and that is kind of get these guys to get back to playing football or basketball or whatever sport it is that they're supposed to be playing.
The survey findings also coincide with a spate of recent high-profile incidents where athletes either died or suffered serious injuries or complications during workouts. That goes back to Jordan McNair with Maryland football, and the Garden City Community College football player Braden Bradford in August. So these are some things that people are going, okay, hold on. are we doing the right thing for the college player right now?
Going back to Ramdum Yoliosis, it's a serious syndrome due to a direct or indirect muscle injury. It results from the death of muscle fibers and the release of their contents into the bloodstream. This can lead to serious complications such as renal kidney failure. This means the kidneys cannot remove waste and this, that, and therefore kidney failure.
Okay. There you go. So now you have the definition of that specific injury right there.
Rhabdomyolysis.
Murphy Grant, chairman of NATA's Intercollegiate Council for Sports Medicine, said the demands on student athletes during practice and play have been growing. And I think we've all, you know, there's that commercial of the student athlete that gets up and he's running, he goes to class, he's happy and everything, and he gets through his day, he's answering questions, he's involved. All these things going on. Did you see Byron Jones tweet about that?
Yes, and many other
Byron Jones is like, athletes. Yeah, right. Like a student athlete is actually going to have that kind of a lifestyle. There's no way because of all the demands that are placed on them. A lot of them are just like, I'm giving up on school because I have to be an athlete and it takes that much of my time. It's look at even Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith just finished college after he got into the NFL. Now, obviously, his talent lended himself to that, but he said, this is the better route for me. Go ahead and get in the NFL, and then I'll finish up my degree because of how difficult it is to be a student athlete. The other thing, though, is if you have to, as a student athlete, you trust that your medical team is doing the best for you, taking the best care of you, and that you can't find care like that anywhere else, and that your college is looking out for you too, because this is a university. This is a university. You probably go to a university that excels at what they do, and why would they not play you or suggest for you to play if you aren't in the best health? Now, there's always that a part of you that just doesn't trust it. But that's kind of what players do. They trust what's going on because they're kids.
And they also very rarely have very much option afterwards when it comes to, especially college players, they give away most of their leverage on National Signing Day or whenever they officially commit. That's their leverage. That's when they have the power to make decisions. And after that, a lot of their lives are given up to the NCAA and to those coaches and those institutions as to what gets to happen with them, all the way down to their medical treatment.
Now, when you go into the professional sport that you have played afterwards, you anticipate that your team is going to do everything it can to make sure they have the best accommodations in these situations as well. Jerry brags about the accommodations they have medically for the Cowboys and that they pay a premium price for having the best around, the best training staff, the best medical training staff as well, not just like the guys that are helping get these guys big and fast and strong, also the guys that are making sure they're running the right x-rays, saying this is the diagnosis of this player. They trusted their staff when it came to Jalen Smith. When it came to Jalen Smith, they said, we're going to take a flyer on this guy because we believe he will be back. We knew the guy that did the surgery is in our house. He's one of our guys, so we trust it. Go back and look at the Mavericks with Tyson Chandler. Casey Smith was there and said, yeah, I was the one that did the surgery on him. He's going to be okay. He's going to be a contender for you. You're going to have him this year. He's going to be great. And guess what happened? Tyson Chandler turned out to be fine that year. So the team wants to trust their staff too. But then there's the big moment. And we saw that moment play out this year with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was injured. And I don't know if it was posturing or what, but after the game, Steve Kerr, staring off into nowhere, says, they told us that he couldn't hurt it anymore.
Right.
When he was talking about Kevin Durant's injury. They told us he couldn't hurt it anymore. So is that him saying we were trusting the staff? We talked Kevin into trusting the staff, that whatever it was would not be hurt anymore and that he would be fine? Or is that him saying, we really have to put on a good front because we gave him the wrong information in trying to win a championship? Now, it's also another weird battle that goes on between the team not trying to give too much away and the player having to decide if the team has his best interest. And Andre Iguodala was talking about that on the Breakfast Club when he dropped this little nugget in everybody's lap.
Because everyone's feeding stuff in our head, when KD coming back, when KD coming back.
And the fact that it's the finals.
So I'm saying. Last year happened to me. I missed the last three games of the Houston series. It goes to game seven. We barely get out of that series. And now they're looking at me like, when you coming back? And I had a fractured leg. And but it's being put out there like he got a bone bruise. I'm like, no, it's fractured. So I'm fighting with the team. I'm fighting with people. I'm fighting with the media. And then my teammates ask me every day, how you feeling? So with Kay, he getting it from everywhere too. Like, how you feeling? Not just from, you know, the team, but from family or from, people close to him. You know, this our moment, this our stage. You know,
right.
This don't last forever. And what they'd always say in sports, oh, he was a tough guy. He played through injuries. You know, you're validated as an athlete if you win a championship or how tough you were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you sit out, it's like, he's not tough. Like, you think about it, the history of sports is all about people's perception of you, and they want to get their gratification through you for themselves. And that's just the way of sports, you know.
It's kind of y'all fault a little bit too, though.
It's true.
It's a fascinating perspective, especially him giving away the, I got a fractured leg.
Right.
And they were saying in public it was a bone bruise. Because why would you do that if you're a coaching staff? An advantage.
Right.
You want the opponent to have to think that Andre Iguodala is going to be on the court. You want the opponent to have to spend an hour or two studying on how to defeat what if they have him on the court. And so there you are saying, nope, it's just a bone bruise. And that's a lie. And your medical staff is kind of nodding as they go along with things. But the player has to kind of say, yeah, too, at the same time. So everybody else out there is like, hey, you're not really that hurt. It's just a bruise, you big P. And you're like, hold on, but that's not the truth. But you can't tell anybody because that would give away the advantage for the team. And look at Tony Romo, his whole career. Nobody can question how tough the dude was. Were there problems? He finally figured it out late in his career, right? He finally figured it out. That 2014 season, he had it, man. They were so good. They had everything lined up for him. His body just couldn't hold up beyond that. But man, that dude played with broken ribs. He played with all sorts of injuries.
Collarbone.
I sat there and watched him trying to breathe with those broken ribs in the locker room while he was doing an interview, just wincing in pain. And he wouldn't give away what was going on with him. It could have been a punctured lung, dude. And he's just fighting through it because he wanted to leave a legacy behind him that said that he was a tough guy. And I don't think that anybody ever questioned whether or not he was tough. But I think that's the same thing, too. He's right. Iguodala is totally right. If you go back, KD is going to be looked at sometimes as soft. Oh, you had to go to Golden State to win a championship. You had to go right. Do that to win a championship. You didn't show up when your team needed you the most. And it cost him a whole year in the NBA now. And even further beyond that, now look at what Skin pointed this out the other day. You know that's going to affect his numbers career-wise scoring?
Not just that. Like, it's also going to affect, like, his career is very much a different career now, right? We haven't seen a guy come back from that Achilles injury and be the same type of player, especially in that, like, athleticism department. Look at Wesley Matthews. We saw that pretty close up. He was never the same player that he was in Portland before that Achilles injury happened. Mm-hmm. So, like, he has given up what is pretty obviously the prime of his career. He will still be a very good player. But that top flight player that he was previously, we might not see anything like that is exactly that ever again from him. And for what? For him to try and come back and try and win his team a championship.
You know, from what Kerr had to say and looking straight at the camera and then just saying, we were told.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that makes me believe that he was told that I want to say that that's what happened. The other part of it sounds like CYA.
Yeah, I think so too.
It just screams that to me, but I want to take this back.
Because as a coach, you don't want a player that you're going to go and try and get in the future to not trust you.
Right.
If you say, hey, you're fine, let's get out there and play.
Now that we, you know, we start to talk about this and we start to put that out there for the Tolos and everybody to hear, just want y'all guys to think about that the next time an NFL or a college football player decides to set out for the rest of the games before he goes and plays. You think about what they've been through before they got there, because this is not only happening in pro sports. We've pointed out it's happening in college sports as well. When you have that college player that says, you know what, my draft status is locked up, I'm not going back out there. Just remember, maybe not all of his staff, his coaches, his everybody has his best physical needs in mind.
Absolutely.
And that stretches out beyond simply injuries, right? Like, this is a situation in which we did not understand the full extent of what was happening until someone in the know, Andre Iguodala, gave us a better idea of what was happening. And we often work off of the information that we can see that is broadcast through media, larger media outlets usually, and we don't always know the full situation. So it should give us a little bit of hesitance in the way that we talk, even if we still have to speculate, because, you know, we're going to talk about these things. These are the things that are interesting to us. At least do it with a little bit of hesitation.
Just like with the NFL and the diary of the NFL, the stories that we never get told.
Diary?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.